This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good morning and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the TAN Talk Radio Network with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned.
Is that better?
That's better.
You were in the wrong one. You turned me off.
I'm in the wrong. Yeah, I turned her off. I don't mean to turn you off, Lynn, really.
Yeah, I know.
So, as always, with me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny Lou. How are you doing?
Joyful and grateful. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
So, how artistic were we this week?
You were. Mine didn't come out so well.
I am very grateful. I want to say thank you to Women in Networking and For the Girls Network and Helena of Pino's Palette, because Thursday night they had a painting with a twist party, and the proceeds went to my grandson in his recovery, so that was very wonderful. So before I keep talking, let me introduce Dr. David Schumann from Alexander Spine and Chiropractic. Welcome today.
Thanks.
So glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
We got a lot of good things to tell the caregivers. Yeah, so thank you very much. That meant a lot to us, and it was nice that my daughter Nicole got to go and just be surrounded by a lot of positive women that really wanted to help. And I don't think we did so bad at painting.
It was okay.
I think you had a lot on your shoes and your pants.
I was covered. I had to throw my pants out.
You did?
I did. Thank goodness I had changed into bummy clothes.
Well, we want to say hello to Bobby on the boards today. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hello, hello. How are you all?
Very happy that you're here today.
Good to be here.
I also want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Tom in Largo, Michelle in Tampa, Debbie in Orlando, and we have Mike and Sheila in Ohio.
Well, welcome. So, we got five new listeners.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, five. So welcome to our newest listeners. As we always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers video table for new listeners, whether you can listen to the show live on AM/FM or on YouTube or on Facebook, or you can go to the podcast. I know caregivers don't have a lot of time, but if you hear a little bit here and you know you have some time later, you can go back and hear it. You know, a caregiver will call me up and say, I was listening to the show, it was really wonderful, Linda, and then Mom had to go to the bathroom. So that's the end of that show.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, you know, that show 4 weeks ago really had nothing to do with me, but it does now. Or my sister needs to hear that show or whatever. So I'm glad that we have the podcast and everybody has the ability to go back to that. You know, I started doing a Tuesday tip for caregivers on Facebook and YouTube, and I want to talk about the tip this week for our listeners that are not on Facebook and YouTube, because I think it's really important, and I got a lot of feedback from it. And I call it the don'ts of dementia. So if you're dealing with someone that has dementia, please do not say, "Do you remember?" Because most of the times they don't remember. And all that does is it causes them embarrassment,
maybe anxiety.
Anger. Yeah, and really uncomfortable. So that's not going to help any kind of conversation. Number two, do not argue with them. Because they actually believe what they're saying. And you're going to go round and round and round. If they say something that's not correct, just let it go. What's the big deal? Just let it go. Don't point out mistakes. Don't do that to anybody. Never mind just somebody that has dementia. It just makes the people feel
stupid.
Badly. Yeah. And doesn't help with the conversation.
No.
Don't assume that they don't remember anything, because many people do have moments of clarity, and there are things that they can remember, and if you keep pushing it off, then you wouldn't have any of that conversation. Please don't take when they say mean or nasty things to you. It's not them. Don't take it personally. This disease can twist their words and make them feel badly, and they may be confused, they may be fearful, and they may be angry, so please try to just let it roll off your shoulders. I know it's not easy, but try. Don't talk down to them. They're not children. They're not children, they're grown adults, and they should be shown proper respect. And last but not least, do not talk about them in front of other people like they're not there. I see that a lot of times in the doctor's office, and they talk to the doctor like the mother or whoever the person is not even in the room. That's not right. And many times people may not understand what's being said, but they understand the feeling. And if they're treated kindly, and if they're treated with respect, it's going to be a whole lot better. So that's my tip for today. And on the line, we now have the fabulous health coach detective, Tammy Taylor.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Tammy. How are you today?
Good, thank you, on this bright, sunny day.
Yes.
Terrific. And today we're going to talk about sugar-sweetened beverages.
Mm.
Yeah, they are actually the worst drink choice a person with diabetes can make because they're very high in carbs and they're also loaded with fructose, which fructose is strongly linked to insulin resistance and diabetes. And studies suggest that consuming sugar-sweetened beverages may increase the risk of diabetes-related conditions like fatty liver.
So, Tammy, that's like Coke and Diet Coke? Both?
Well, Diet Coke is a little different because it's not actually sugar.
But it's not good for you.
It mimics sugar.
Okay.
The body can't really tell the difference. So there's still a lot of things going on in the system when you're drinking diet as well.
Okay.
But this is what I'm talking about today is sugar sweetened. So that would be sodas or iced tea, lemonade, Kool-Aid, you know, anything that has
Kool-Aid.
Added sugar.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard of that in years.
Yes. So high fructose levels actually lead to metabolic changes, and that promotes belly fat and potential harmful cholesterol and triglyceride levels. So you really want to be careful with that. So to help control blood sugar levels and prevent disease risk, it's best to drink water or club soda, unsweetened iced tea, things like that, rather than choosing sugary beverages.
And the funny thing is, once you go off the sugar and you go try and drink a soda after that, they taste horrible. So you get used to it.
Yep. And 21 days is a good thing for that. Any new habit, and especially something like that, 3-4 weeks, try it. You're gonna have that reaction. But your body's going to thank you when you get rid of that extra sugar.
You know, Tammy, really I'm thinking it all boils down to, once again, to reading labels. Because when I think lemonade, I don't think sugar in there. I think sugar and Coke. I don't personally. I would say, lemonade's okay. It's not so bad. So it's, once again, reading those labels and actually what's in things.
Yes, because a 12-ounce can of soda has 38 grams of sugar. And the same size sweetened tea or lemonade has 36.
Wow.
And there's 150 calories in a real Coca-Cola.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so it's you're drinking, basically, you might as well just drink some sugar.
Well, I'll tell you, I have no caffeine in my diet, because if I did, I'd probably fly. But a few years ago, I was coming back on a trip from New York, and when I go on the plane all the time, I either order tomato juice, or once in a while, ginger ale. I wanted a Coke. I just felt like I wanted a Coke. I hadn't had a Coke in years. I drank that ice cold Coke. My body said, "What did you do?" I was miserable the rest of the plane ride. It was not a good thing, so don't do that.
No,
don't do that.
Yes. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to email me at tammy@asherhealth.com. So I'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, Tammy. Have a delicious day.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
So, Dr. Schumann, I'm so glad you're here today.
Me too.
So I'm a patient of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I totally believe in chiropractic. I've been a regular chiropractic patient for over 5 years. I believe that it helps me stay healthy. I believe it helps me with pain. I believe it helps me with mobility.
Does it make you flexible? Because she's so flexible.
Yeah.
In all ways.
It does help. Helps with most health issues, you know, but... we're all a little bit different. Everybody's has different amounts of flexibility. So there are plenty of things that you can do specifically to help that, and a chiropractor or physical therapist can definitely teach them to you. But I think that's more of a consistency thing, just working on specific muscles that need stretching.
Yeah, because I think everybody gets stiffened up. You know, last week we had people on the show that with the Parkinson's boxing.
Yeah.
That's terrific, because that's what happens with people with Parkinson's. They stiffen up, they're dragging their leg, they're not using their arm.
In that situation, movement's the answer.
Yeah, I always say you have to move to lube, and if you rest, you rust.
Yep, it's a good motto.
Yeah, I think so. So let's talk about caregivers and how chiropractic or physical, because you do chiropractic and you also, look, all right, let's back up a minute. Let's tell us so where you're located and tell us what all, everything you guys do, and then I'll ask my next question.
Perfect. All right. So, yes, we are on the corner of Park and Seminole Boulevard in Seminole, Florida. So definitely a great location for anybody that lives in Seminole, Largo, Pinellas.
But you do have locations in other states too, right?
We do. We do. We do not have physical therapy in some of those places. You know, so we have locations in Southern Maryland. There's two there, specifically in California, Maryland, and Solomon's Island. And then we also have a location in Georgia, right near Atlanta. And
That's good to know, because we have listeners everywhere.
Absolutely. So we have chiropractic at all the locations. We have physical therapy here in Florida. That's what I do. I'm a doctor of physical therapy. And then we also have physiotherapy in Georgia. So,
What's the difference between physical therapy and physiotherapy?
Not a whole lot. You know, in Georgia, chiropractors can teach exercise, you know, so we label that physiotherapy. You know, when you see the term physical therapy, you know that it's a physical therapist or a physical therapist assistant that's doing that service.
Okay.
So, you know, here in Florida, you know, we use the term physical therapy because I'm the one there doing that service and I'm a doctor of physical therapy, so.
Okay. So we were talking a little bit earlier about the show about caregivers that are trying to lift somebody from chairs, mm-hmm. that are trying to lift people out of beds, and I can't tell you how many times I hear of both of them going down.
Absolutely. You know, you have somebody that needs help that is maybe dependent on that caregiver. So if that caregiver is not staying healthy and taking care of their own body, they're going to definitely struggle with that job, right, and helping that person. So it all comes down to trying to live a healthy lifestyle, staying well, and working on yourself so that you can provide help for others. Right. So.
And if somebody comes in for physical therapy too, you can even tell them, give them tips on how they should, how you should bend, how you should lift. I think that's really important because I think sometimes people just don't know how to do it.
I know, and most people, they just want to be helpful, so they'll do anything they can to help somebody stand up or walk and use the bathroom, that kind of stuff. But if you're not taught how to properly do that, you're going to put yourself at risk.
And both of you are at risk.
Both at risk, absolutely. So if the caregiver falls, guess what? That that patient's going down to you, right? So it's definitely a good idea for all caregivers in any setting to make sure that you are getting the proper training so that you don't put somebody else at risk, even though you're trying to help.
So if a caregiver's listening to the show right now and they think, you know what, maybe I need to think something about doing something, like they come to your office, and how does the process start? What is the process?
Well, if it's that straightforward and they're just looking to get some health tips or to actually learn how to properly lift, they can go through a couple different avenues. You know, if they want to go through the chiropractic route there and just again work on being healthy, it would be a simple, probably 5 or 10 minute little session, and I would be more than happy to help them with that if they're being treated by us. And it's more about learning and then practicing it a few times, making sure that you got it, and then trying to apply that when they're back home in that setting.
Right.
You know, so.
So they don't have to come every day.
No, absolutely not. You know, and the typical wellness patient for chiropractic usually only comes once a month. So it's really not, you know, a huge commitment. Early on, you come more often until your body kind of gets used
into it.
Yeah, you have to get used to it, and your body needs the chance to adapt and really, you know, maintain that new healthy position. But you know, once you get there, which usually takes a couple months, you're usually coming once a month, and you're staying healthy, and that's going to again make you function at 100% at your biggest potential, so that you can help others. You know.
And I've heard a lot of times people end up finally. Now this is when somebody's already hurting bad; mm-hmm. they can barely stand up, and their back's going out every other week.
That's when they finally come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They walk in the door.
Yeah. And of course, it's much more difficult at that moment to get them healthy, and it takes a whole lot longer, you know, which is more costly,
right?
So
and more painful.
We believe that if you are taking those steps before you actually have those injuries, not only do you become less vulnerable, but you will prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
Right? So not only learning how to properly move people, but just practicing a healthy lifestyle will keep you out of trouble. And we strongly believe that.
And sometimes it's just part of learning too about your posture, mm-hmm. learning how you sit, how you walk, how you stand. You know, I don't want to be one of those ladies that's hunched over.
Absolutely.
You know,
we all get older, right? We can't stop that.
Right.
So you want to age well, and nobody has perfect posture, but we all can make improvements. And if we don't know what to do, then how are you supposed to do it?
Right. It's not something you learn as a child.
You don't learn that, and you have to be taught. And
I find dancers have wonderful posture.
Yes, well, because part of what they do is having a posture. Like when they're holding that form, that is good posture. So
my granddaughter.
They actively practice that. Right. Yeah. So that's part of their routine.
And it really makes you look good, too.
It does. Yeah. It does. Well, you see, my stepmother, Heidi always sits up in a chair. You know, sits up in a chair.
Because she's 4'10".
Yeah. But no, she always has that perfect posture.
Always.
And it makes such a difference. It makes a difference in your appearance. It makes a difference in the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, someone like that will be less likely to develop those forward postures that we see so often nowadays. You know, it's kind of part of our lifestyles now. We have cell phones and computers. I'm pretty sure everybody has one of those nowadays. And they all
except Lynn, no.
They all promote that forward posture. So unless you're doing something actively to counter that, you're eventually going to start migrating forward. And unfortunately, that's not a great thing for your spine.
Okay, so give me an example. So sometimes I have this big, white, beautiful chair that I sit in my bedroom in, and then lots of times I'm on the phone or I'm on my little computer and stuff, and if I'm there for a couple hours, then my neck starts to hurt.
Absolutely. So you're probably in a posture that's not so great.
All right, so I'm like this. I'm like leaning back.
Trying to counter that.
Of the chair.
Yeah. So, there are plenty of little tips and tricks for sitting postures, and we actually just covered this at our office. We have our bi-weekly bi-monthly, I should say, health talks. And so I just talked about sitting postures at work, because some of us work for eight hours in the sitting posture.
Right.
And you can definitely orient yourself. And we kind of labeled this ergonomics, you know. You can orient yourself and your surroundings to just promote a better posture throughout the day.
So how do you do that?
Right. So, I mean, the easiest one to change would be the monitor, right? You have a monitor in front of you that you're looking at.
Make sure it's at the right.
Yeah, so it needs to be eye level, right? So the center of that monitor should be right where your eyes are. And so sometimes that means you have to either bring your chair up or down or adjust the actual height of the monitor. Sometimes you have to get a stand for the monitor, but you do what you have to do to make that eye level.
What about those desks where people stand at and work on the computer? Do you think that's better?
Well, it's not that it's better or worse. It's more about changing those postures. You know, so desks that are able to change height are
phenomenal. Because everybody's different.
Yeah, so and you kind of hear this sometimes. Some of these companies that care about their employees, they'll purchase these adjustable desks. And they actually just came out with a couple of different studies. I just came across it about a month ago that showed people that work in a setting that can change how they're positioned throughout the day have a lot less pain. And it doesn't really go any further than that. It's really just talking about pain, but I think that's still important. So basically having the ability to sit or stand and change that whenever you'd like leads to less pain.
And sometimes maybe you don't have that desk and you can't do that. So then, how about getting up and taking a walk?
Absolutely. So the recommendation is every 30 minutes of sitting, you try and do 30 seconds of standing, and vice versa. That's not realistic. You know, if you got up every 30 minutes, you might not get as much work done. I would suggest
your boss might not like
that. Yeah, I would suggest at least once an hour. You know, so if you're working 8 hours, you probably have a lunch in the middle there. So, you know, in the 4 hour span in the morning, you probably want to get up at least 3 to 4 times and try to break those back. And it could be simply walking to the bathroom, walking to get a sip of water or simply just standing.
Yeah. Staying hydrated is important. That's part of the whole package.
It is. Especially spine health. You know, you need to be hydrated for spine.
And they make bras now that pull your shoulders back.
They do.
Remember that? Our friend got one?
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference.
Yeah, because some people just not used to doing that, and they need that little bit of help. So another thing, I think this is something I do. When I'm, like, driving in the car, I'm always, like, sucking my gut in. Mm-hmm. Like as long as I can hold it in, because I'm figuring that's going to help my core strength.
Yeah. It does, actually. You're right. So when you fire the transverse abdominis, which is one of the ab muscles, you actually get a co-contraction of the multifidus, which is almost like putting on a belt. Like you see these guys in the gym wearing those weightlifting belts.
Yeah.
So why do they do that? Right. So just to keep their back safe. Well, we have these belts built in. So if we learn how to tap into that, and this is something that I teach to my patients that are having chronic back pain or just looking to have a nice strong core to help their back, is how to recruit those muscles, especially when they're doing the bending, lifting, pushing, and pulling. So if you're actively contracting those belly muscles while you do those tasks, or working with a caregiver working with their
Their loved one.
Their loved one. If they're recruiting those muscles, they're going to be a whole less likely to hurt their back. Because, again, it's like putting on that belt. Putting on that.
And using what you have.
Using what you have. You got it.
I was always told to lift from your knees.
Well, I don't think I've used that. But, yeah, using your legs. Using your legs to lift, right?
Right. Instead of your back, absolutely. You don't do that. I always squatted down to help Jack, and then came up.
Yeah, proper lifting technique would be using your legs instead of your back. I mean, sometimes if something's really low, you have no choice but to bend a little bit.
Right.
But you want to use as much of the legs as you can to keep the back muscles from contracting too much.
And it's easier, too.
It is easier.
Because you have more strength in your leg. Well, I do.
Yeah. Our legs are very strong. We definitely underestimate ourselves. Especially
The
quads. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And if you use them, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good tool for many different ways, for protection, for any kind of thing. You know, it's really important. And then another thing. Well, we're just going to get ready because we need to hear from our wonderful partners.
Oh, great.
So, because you know the story, if we don't hear from our partners, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
I wasn't prepared for Dad to get sick. He's Mom's primary caregiver. But thanks to Assisting Hands, we were able to give Mom the care that she needed, from getting her up in the morning, making breakfast, getting her showered, to changing the sheets on her bed. They understood her memory loss and were able to provide us with a caregiver who was patient, kind, and engaging. Mom smiles when she arrives, and they have a great time together. Assisting Hands has helped Mom remain happy, healthy, and home.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211. In Pasco, call 813-280-4383. Or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call. SCG is a 501c3 not-for-profit healthcare organization dedicated to providing quality healthcare within our continuum of care. Whether you or a loved one is in need of skilled nursing services, home health, or outpatient therapy, they can help you. SCG has skilled nursing communities providing around-the-clock care in North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. Transitions Therapy is their very own outpatient therapy division that covers physical, occupational, and speech therapies for all ages, including pediatrics. No matter if you're transitioning from one of their hospital partners or from one of their communities, their home health division, Diamond Home Health, can assist you in your recovery while in the comfort of your home. Their priority is to provide you with a continuum of care that includes skilled nursing, medical home services, and rehabilitation by a team of experienced professionals dedicated to getting you back to living your best life. At SCG, this is what they consider care reimagined. Visit them on the web at www.seniorcaregroup.com. Call 813-341-2771 or message Senior Care Group on Facebook.
Uh-huh. Want to nominate a caregiver? Download the Caregiver Affirmation, or to listen to this week's show or previous weeks, just go to www.caregiversradio.com. Are you looking for some resources, a support group, inspiration? You can find it all at caregiversradio.com. There's a calendar of support groups and caregiver events, a weekly blog, important telephone numbers, and people and companies of integrity like elder care lawyers, home health care companies, geriatric care managers, and many more. If there is something you're looking for that you do not find there, please feel free to email Linda and she will find the resource you are looking for. Interested in having Linda speak at one of your events? Just give her a call at 833-795-9990. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. You'll be there, 'cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Like I always say, caregivers, when someone says, can I help you? Say yes, thank you very much. Yes. And then tell them something that they can help you with. And if you take time to sit down and make a list of a couple of things, you'll figure out something. And maybe helping you is just taking your dog for a walk. We don't think about those things sometimes. Maybe helping you is just taking your trash cans out to the sidewalk for you and bringing them back. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but it takes a village to take care of a senior. And when your community wants to help you, please let them help you. So, Doc, let's talk a little bit further about this. I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about painkillers and hydration.
Okay.
So I think what happens is people will get a pain in their back or their arm and their leg or whatever, and they start taking Aleve or Tylenol or whatever it is. But it never goes away.
Of course not, because those things don't address the problem, right? So it's a...
But they say, oh, it's an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, and that's really what takes that pain away, right? So it takes some of that fluid away from those areas that are injured and takes some of the pressure off the nervous system structures that are giving you the pain. But the vulnerability, the weakness, and the problem, they're still there. And so once that medication wears off and you do something to, you know, aggravate that area, it's going to hurt just like it did, maybe worse.
And I think sometimes people stay on it for a lot. I mean, they're popping them all day long.
Yeah, and some of these
Then really the condition is just getting worse, though.
Behind the scenes, yeah. Behind the scenes getting worse as they're still using those areas without, you know, stabilizing well and not using the muscles that they should be using. The problem can definitely worsen, and you know, you hear it all the time, some of these medications are a little bit addictive, and, you know, it's not a good thing. You know, over-the-counter ones aren't, but, you know, if you're getting prescription pain medication, it's just not a good road. You know?
Well, I even think they are addictive. Maybe not physically addictive, they get to be mentally addictive.
It's a habit. You know, it's just, yeah. Oh, I have pain, I'll pop this, and it gets easy. It's too easy because it does help the pain.
But ibuprofen and Motrin do help pain.
They absolutely do.
And I can't take it because that works through your stomach.
Works through your stomach, yes.
Where Tylenol works through the liver, I believe.
Yep, you're correct.
You're so smart.
But when I'm really in pain on something, I do the ibuprofen. I say, stomach will get better by itself.
I'd be lying if I said I never took that stuff, right? That's not, there's definitely a role for that, you know, to play, but.
But it's a temporary role.
Exactly. It should be very temporary. You know, you have something that happens to you and you have pain, you shouldn't have to suffer.
Right.
You know, but you got to take the right action after. Yeah, and so someone that may be newly hurt their back recently, right? It's very acute. It just happened. Yeah, you can take that stuff for a few days. Yeah, once your pain starts to get better, you definitely want to start taking the right action by seeking help. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to come to me, but see somebody. See somebody for that, whether it's your primary care doctor or your chiropractor or a physical therapist. You can get help, and you can learn the right way to go about doing that, and not just waiting for the next pain.
And you have a lot of clients that come in, like, after car accidents and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, huge amounts, yeah. And unfortunately, we have a lot of car accidents in our area.
Yeah. Because a lot of our seniors should not be driving.
Not only that, there's people from all over the country, really not blaming on me.
They don't even know where they're going.
We have a melting pot here, you know, people from all over the place, and this is one, we joke about this because I'm from New Jersey. And in New Jersey, you
biggest offenders.
Yes. But we also have, you know, the structure of driving is different there. You can't make a left turn whenever you want to make a left turn.
Exactly.
It's all jug handles from the right. So you have people that are driving that might not be supposed to be driving, you know, and they're making these judgment calls. And it doesn't end well. And we get a lot of people in our office that are injured in car accidents, whether it's their fault or not. And they're still hurt, and they still need help.
Exactly.
You know, and then we go through the whole treatment plan with them, and most of them do improve, and that's...
And is that's covered by insurance, then?
Yes, you know, so people don't realize that when you have car insurance, you're actually paying for a medical portion, you know, so even if you cause the accident, you still have a benefit there, and yes, you have a deductible, and you're responsible for part of it, but majority of it is covered, and people don't realize this. They think, oh, it was my fault, I don't get anything. No, you're paying your premium for the auto insurance.
We're no fault here, aren't we?
Well, we are no fault. That's kind of what I'm talking about. So whether it's your fault or not, you have that coverage, and you can tap into that, and you know, you get an automatic $2,500 toward your medical, and then if you see an MD, a DO, or a dentist, which is kind of funny, actually, they can document that you have something called an emergency medical condition, or EMC for short, that will open up your benefit to a full $10,000.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so somebody that wasn't in a car accident needs to come to you. What are their insurance options and all their cash plans? And yeah, just so, give
you know,
us an idea.
There's a couple, you know, you have your...
Because, I mean, a lot of people are going to say, I'd love to go to a chiropractor, but I can't afford it.
Exactly. You know, so if you have health insurance, you know, we do take most of those plans. And the majority of offices take insurance. And
more are taking chiropractic today.
Absolutely.
Health insurance.
What about Medicare?
Medicare is great for chiropractic. It's great for physical therapy, too. Most of the time with Medicare, it's a straight 80% coverage, and if you don't have a secondary insurance, Medicare will pay 80% of your bill, which is fantastic.
That is great.
You know, someone you don't realize, if you just come in, and here's the downside though, Medicare does not pay for exams or X-rays, so that's a little tough sometimes because you.
But the secondary one.
Yes, if you have a secondary insurance, they might cover that, and so there's a chance. You know, and that's why I suggest everybody does their own homework. You know, we would be happy to run your insurance benefits for you.
And just come in and talk to you.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid. Come in, give us your insurance information, we'll look up your benefits, and we'll get back to you and go over that in detail with you so you know exactly what you'd be responsible for, and we can always help you through that. And, you know, for people that don't have insurance, we have some great cash options out there, and you know, we work with a company called CoverHealth USA, which is a fantastic company that gives people the option to get coverage on a yearly basis. And basically how that works is you pay a flat fee for your whole entire household, which is actually pretty reasonable. It's $49 for the whole year.
Oh, wow.
Right. So what that does, it allows us to charge a different rate. And basically it's like a cash reduction plan and allows us to reduce that rate for you. And, you know, for each additional person that comes in from your household, it's even less. So
okay, so that's something else now you made me think of when you talk about households.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a grandson that plays soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
Yeah, you can definitely get some injuries there.
Yeah, I have a granddaughter that works at Beach Pizza and Tropical Smoothie. She's bending over. Ow.
So
people don't think about chiropractic for young people, though.
Oh, it's fantastic. We have a lot of kids that come and a lot of families. It's family care.
Yeah,
it's a family care lifestyle. And, you know, everybody benefits, even infants.
Infants.
Yes. I'll be the first one to talk about my children. They were all adjusted, you know, just a few days after they were born. So, it's something that
they were in a funny position in the womb.
Absolutely. So they come out and they might not be aligned properly, and that's a great way to start their lives.
Wow, that's right? a great idea.
And then you have certain issues that the babies have, something like torticollis, where they might have a muscle spasm that's, you know, preventing them from having a proper alignment, and that's mostly muscular there. And one adjustment usually is enough. You realign the spine, the muscle relaxes, and the torticollis goes away.
The body does what it needs to do.
Body does exactly. You're giving the body a chance to help you, and that's, again, that's what chiropractic is.
Because the body's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. What is chiropractic? You're adjusting the spine. You're trying to promote a very aligned spine. And what does that do? Well, that enables the body to communicate better and do what it does, right? So the body heals itself, but you got to give it a chance.
Right. And you don't have to block it. Some people don't even give it a chance. Yeah,
exactly.
They block it. I think that's so much. Okay, let's talk about sleeping.
Sleeping.
Pillows, not pillows, flat, upright in bed.
Another topic that we just covered, actually.
I don't know.
Right?
We're on the same page.
Yeah,
Doc.
So we actually on Thursday, this previous Thursday, I had a talk at the office about proper sleeping positions. You know, so this is a perfect segue. We talk about, you know, how much time do we actually spend sleeping?
A lot.
A third of our day.
Yeah.
A third.
A
third of our day. Well, yeah, not everybody, but we're supposed to be spending about a third of our day or a third of our lives sleeping. Right? It's crazy.
Yeah, when
right?
you think of it that way.
Yeah. So if you're not sleeping in the proper position, you actually are working against your own body. You know, so the best, and this is, I got a couple of stats because I just did this, right? So this is perfect timing. So the best position to sleep in would be definitely on your back. You know, and
see, Jack did that.
Only,
I can't do that.
Only 8% of people sleep this way.
Yeah. Wow.
So only 8% of people sleep in the right position. And I'm not telling you have to go home tonight and lay on your back until you fall asleep. That would probably be a bad idea. But if you're looking to make that transition, there are ways to do that.
Oh, is there?
Okay. Absolutely. The second best way to sleep would definitely be on your side.
Well, that's and I heard on the left side because that's where all the organs
well,
are. Or
when
something.
When you sleep on your left side, you're going to promote the most circulation to your body. And when you sleep,
Chip sent me an email about that.
Yeah, and when you sleep on your right side, you'll definitely compress some of the organs more. It's not like
see, I do half and half.
It's
usually.
Okay. It's not like it's a terrible thing, but if you have a choice,
right? If you have a choice,
left is better.
Right. But that okay. back, I like.
That's
I
exactly
wish I
why
could do that.
They talk about the recovery position. Someone that's you know. Hurt and down, or you know, say they had a heart attack, or you always want to put them on the left side, right? Why is that? Because again, it promotes the most circulation and gives them the best chance until the help gets there.
And in the hospital, they always make you lay up, kind of sleep on your back.
You're back.
Well,
don't again,
have a choice.
But that's,
in a way,
again, that's the best way. It's the, you have the least amount of pressure on some of the parts of the body. You have 5 pressure points when you sleep on your back. You'll have 6 or more if you sleep in other positions. So,
so pillow.
Pillow, yes, a pillow, but a
not a real hard.
You don't need a big one. You don't need a big one, right? Like, so, if you think about what happens when you roll on your side, you now you have to make up the difference between the head and the shoulder,
right?
Because now you're on your shoulder, which is a much greater distance, right? Than when you're sleeping on your back,
right?
Right. So when you're sleeping on your back, you're just trying to make up the difference between the back of your head and your spine, which is a whole lot smaller than the distance between your shoulder and your head. So. The biggest suggestion is to, if you're on your side, is to have enough pillow support to keep your head straight with your body. You don't want to be tilted down or up.
Okay.
Right? So if you have too big of a pillow, or you use 2 pillows, you might be tilted toward the ceiling.
I'm going to have to go home
practice.
And see.
Yeah. So if you live with other people, just simply say, hey, can you take a look at my body here? Do you think my head is straight with my body? If you live by yourself, maybe you can position a mirror in front of the bed. And just try to take a look at yourself.
Or invite the neighbors.
Yeah. If you have a friend, absolutely, you can do that. Right. So, what happens when you sleep with your head tilted?
I don't know.
Your neck goes out.
It's screwed up.
Well, you're changing the length of the muscles.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So, if you're tilted toward the ceiling, that side's going to be shortened. The opposite side's going to be lengthened.
Right.
And you're going to be that way for several hours. So, you think you're going to be very happy when you wake up?
No.
Probably not. Right. It might take you a little bit of time in the morning just to loosen things up. Right, so.
What about people that sleep with pillows between their legs?
That's a very good idea because again,
it is a good idea.
Absolutely, well, only if you sleep on your side. Right.
Okay.
So if you think about
on your back, it's not going to help.
It's not going to help very much, right? See, if you're on your side, that top leg, gravity is going to pull it down, right? So that's going to put your hip into adduction, which is going to put a little bit more pressure on the back and stretch out the muscles that wrap around the outside of the hip, right?
Okay.
So you definitely want to try to keep the hips in neutral too, and to do that, take any pillow and just. Place it between your knees. That'll keep some space between those
My
knees.
My sister does that.
It's very.
I do it sometimes.
It actually feels better. Try it. It feels better.
It's not your thing.
Well, that's okay. I can give it a shot.
Yeah. And the last, you know, last position would be stomach sleeping, which is the worst.
That was me as a kid. Yeah, so, I couldn't have pajamas with buttons because I always was face down.
That's the worst. That's the worst one. And
why?
Well, because two reasons. One, you have to breathe, right? So what do you do to breathe? You turn your head. So now you're rotated, right? So same kind of scenario with the tilting. When you turn, one side of the neck is going to be lengthened, the other side is going to be shortened, and you put a lot of pressure on the cervical spine, which is your neck, right? So the second thing that happens is that you have to extend. You have to extend your head. So you turn and you extend, and that lets you breathe, especially if you have a pillow.
Yeah.
Right? So
you think about that,
over time, this is going to cause your neck, your cervical spine, to flatten or reverse. And that will lead to a very forward head posture, right? And now you're really starting to work against your own body. Okay.
Okay. Two other questions. Sure. Okay. Now all of a sudden you see, even Rooms to Go is selling those beds. Like the electric bed.
Yeah,
that go
they
up.
Move. Yeah.
And I know of quite a few people that sleep in recliners.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Well, there's kind of two sides to it. It's not terrible if you're slightly up from a flat surface. If you're sleeping in like a normal recliner and you have a large angle, it's not the best.
And plus, you want to have your feet up, right? If you're in,
you have to, and you're in a recliner, your feet are up.
Yeah, but I don't think they're all the way up. Your heart's still up here. Aren't you supposed to have isn't there something about lifting your feet up higher than your heart or something like that?
Well, that's very good for when you have an injury. You want to try to decrease the swelling. You do that, but when you're sleeping, you want to be pretty flat. You know, so that there's the least amount of resistance to all the blood flow.
We have a lot of seniors that are sleeping in recliners.
Yeah, it's not great.
A lot of seniors that are sleeping in recliners. I don't know if they're afraid they're going to get out of the bed and fall.
Possibly.
It's harder to get out of a bed than it is a recliner.
Is. Right. Right. And I think sometimes they just get into that habit and they just fall asleep there and they stay there.
I know of people that might be suffering from GERD or acid reflux. They do a little bit better being on an incline. But it should be minor. It should be a small incline. You don't want to be sleeping more than 15, 20 degrees up off the surface of the bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're bending then. Your spine's bent.
Yeah.
But that back sleeping, I don't know how you... Jack, he looked like he was in a coffin. His feet had to be out, and he you don't get wrinkles if you don't... that's bad for lying down. You get the
that's
wrinkles.
That's why he was always so gorgeous.
I know. Yeah. He had great skin. I know what side I sleep on. I can tell.
I'm sure I'm missing a few points, too. There's so many benefits to sleeping on your back. There's plenty of information out there if you're really curious.
Get a coffin.
All right, we need to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
And they're off. Nah, you know what that means. That means you got to get your pen and paper because Lynn has really good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I do.
Yeah, you do.
On July 31st, from 10:30 to 11:30 at St. Joseph Women's Hospital in Tampa, they're having restorative. Thank you. Yoga. I'm going to get rid of that one just because of that. It is available to all cancer patients. For more information, call 855-269-4777. On August 21st at 10 to 11:30 with registration at 9:30, Arden Courts is having a free dementia seminar with guest speaker Tam Cummings at Seminole City Park on Ridge Road. Please register by calling 727-517-7800.
And there's also going to be a presentation by Tam Cummings the same day in the afternoon in Clearwater. So we'll have that information next week. But she is a fabulous speaker, and some people probably heard her last year. This is a new presentation. So just know that you'll be coming and getting some new information.
Perfect. On August 29th, from 5 to 7 p.m., Arden Courts is having a fundraiser at Radiance Med Spa in Bel Air Bluffs, with 100% of the proceeds going to the Alzheimer's Association. For a $15 donation, there will be food, beverages, and a raffle. There will be a presentation by Allie Ford, professional speaker and mindfulness coach. There will also be a presentation on available treatments at Radiance Med Spa. To RSVP, call 727-692-9117. That would be fun, though.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That's a great Alzheimer's fundraiser.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Honor Flight of West Central Florida is dedicated to American veterans. Veterans fly to Washington to see their memorials. It is free for veterans, but each veteran needs a guardian to accompany them. For more information, call 727-498-6079.
Veterans, don't let that stop you if you don't have a guardian. They'll get you a guardian. Just go and apply to be on the flight. It is a fabulous experience, and the next one is September 10th, but they're also having one August 10th for veterans that cannot fly, and it will be at Empath Hospice. And it's a wonderful, beautiful day. You veterans deserve it. We're so grateful what they do, for, you know, what they've done for us. And I'll tell you, when I went with my vet, it was just an amazing experience. This woman was 88 years old in the Korean War in the Marines. And I said to her, and what did you do there? And she said, I was in intelligence and communications. She goes, zip, I can't tell you anything, Linda. I might have to kill you. But what a great lady.
Going again in September.
I'm going again in September. Very excited to be going with my granddaughter's boyfriend's dad.
And then there's, when is it, August 10th at home?
10th. Is it August 10th at home? So just please.
What's it at the Veterans Place?
No, it's going to be at Empath Hospice on Roosevelt.
Okay.
So they have that big, big place, which is really good. So, Doc, let's wrap it up. What's the most important thing you think my caregivers need to hear today?
I think the most important thing would definitely be taking care of yourself. Because if you're not healthy, then how are you supposed to care for somebody else?
And we're so busy taking care of everybody else.
We forget about ourselves.
You know, I see caregivers die before the person they're taking care of.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I see caregivers fall before.
They say 70% of the time, which is,
that's incredible. Yeah, I did not know that.
There was a study by the University of Pittsburgh that said something like 68% of the caregivers over the age of 65 die before the person they're taking care of.
Incredible.
Yeah, because they don't go to the doctor.
No, we put ourselves last too often.
Which is crazy.
Especially when you're caregiving.
Yeah, especially when you're caregiving. And we all need a break, so when your neighbor comes over and asks if they can help you, maybe they could take them to the doctor visit and say, oh, no, I have to be there. No, maybe you could stay home, maybe you could Skype. Or maybe you can just record what the doctor says. We have so many different options lately. You know, many times I get together with families, and it seems like there's one, I call them the designated daughter. There's the one that does the everything, and sometimes I'll just meet with a family. And okay, so maybe, Mike, you know, you're not really good on the hands-to-hand caregiving. But maybe you're really good at paperwork. So you could do all the paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork to do with caregiving. And maybe you...
Or cut the grass.
You know, yeah, or maybe you're the person that lives out of town, and so you can't be there, but maybe you could send some cash, and they can use it for home health.
It's true. Absolutely. I'll give you my address.
It's a team, right? It's a team effort.
It is a team. And I think everybody wants to be included, and I think sometimes they just don't know what to do. So you have to have somebody come in and real things.
And they feel better about themselves because they do want to help, as you said.
Yeah, they do. And you just have to sometimes give them, sometimes you have to invite them in to help you.
Yes.
Because sometimes, too, people feel uncomfortable with the diseases. You know, they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do. So sometimes we just have to invite them in. I'll tell you a quick story about that because it's almost time for us to go. But, you know, my mom, we went on a cruise near the end of her life. So, you know, I'm going to buy every picture. And the last night they took a picture of us in these old-fashioned outfits. So here she is with a rifle and a scowl on her face. And when they printed it out, they put it on a wanted poster. So I downloaded that on a greeting card and sent it to like 50 people up north. And in each card it said, got in a little trouble in Mexico, please pray for me. And every single person called because I invited them back in. And we didn't talk about the disease and we didn't talk about anything else. We just laughed. So those are the kind of things. I know you have nothing else to do, caregivers. But those are the kind of things that you can do. So thanks so much for joining us today. We'll talk more next week about the caregiver contest coming up. Like us on Facebook, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. I look forward to spending time with you again next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call. On your door, you just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.